Welcome to episode 40 in the New Testament Gospels and Epistles. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church and creator of this series. With this episode, I conclude our discussion of the unique themes and begin part one of a discussion of unique details which are found only in the Gospel of St. John. The next use of the theme of light versus darkness in St. John's Gospel appears in the private discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus, which I will discuss later as a unique event in the Gospel of St. John. The phrase from John 3:16 in which this quote appears, "God so loved the world," are much more familiar to modern Christians than the closing verses 19, 20, and 21. In these words, we hear a combination of both the theme of light versus darkness, good versus evil, truth versus falsehood. The illustration is a Greek Orthodox icon of Christ the King. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." The next example of the theme of light versus darkness is found in John 8, verse 12, one of the I Am declarations that I discussed in episode 31. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The illustration is an oil on canvas by William Holman Hunt, painted in either 1851 or 1854, currently exhibited at the Manchester Art Gallery in Manchester, England. Also, as I noted in episode 31, Christ appears in Revelation 3:21 in the letter to the church at Philadelphia, and on that you may look at episode 8 in our Revelation Bible study series, as the light of the world, and John refers to the New Jerusalem as having no sun or moon because Jesus, the Lamb, was its light. Revelation 21, verse 23. Jesus says in John 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The concept was built into the theology of the Church with the adoption of the Nicene Creed at the First Ecumenical Council at Nicaea in 325 AD, in which Jesus, among other attributes, is referred to as light of light. The final example is also in the words of Jesus following an exchange between some of the disciples, including Philip and Andrew, a group of Greeks, or Gentiles, interested in Judaism, and some Pharisees. The time is just after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. In John 12, verses 35 and 36, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." The illustration is an Eastern-influenced painting of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem from the 12th century cathedral of Palermo, Sicily. The unknown artist shows Jesus riding in the regal-style side saddle, a form of depiction preferred in the Eastern Church art and not often seen in the Western tradition. Jesus finishes the theme with this in verse 43, I come as a light into the world, that whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Other spiritual themes which are woven into the fabric of St. John's Gospel are the contrast between good and evil, which is a variation of which is true versus false, truth versus falsehood, and also the themes of life versus death and heaven versus earth. The illustration is a powerful early 15th century illustration from the Rohan Hours, a book of hours, prayers, readings, and illustrations for private devotion intended for use in Paris, France. Additional illustrations from the Rohan Hours will be used later in later episodes of this series. The Rohan paintings are egg tempera and gold leaf on vellum. The anonymous artist called the Rohan Master, which means the principal artist and his assistants, depicts St. John at a desk writing his gospel, with God the Father observing from the upper right above the slender columns of a tabernacle-like construction, and at John's feet is an eagle, a traditional symbol of John based upon Ezekiel's vision of the four figures. The curled banner at John's feet identifies this as St. John. The next example, illustrating the contrast between true and false, and also heaven and earth, is found in St. John's description of the dialogue in which Jesus teaches at the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Weeks. The Pharisees have denied knowing who he was, and Jesus replies, "You both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." In the next episode, we'll discuss more on this theme of the relationship of Jesus and the Father. In a later scene, following the "I am the light of the world" declaration in chapter 8, verse 12, which is the subject of episode 31 and 32, the Pharisees say that his witness is not true. And Jesus replies in John 8, verses 14 to 18, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh, and I judge no one. Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the judgment of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." They, the Pharisees, said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them in chapter 8, verses 25, 26, and then continuing in 39, 40, and 44, "Just what I have told you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." Later in the same discourse, Jesus says, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God." And later still, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Continuing the dialogue with the same group of Pharisees, a few verses later in chapter 8, Jesus says in verse 51, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." This was just before Abraham was "I am" declaration discussed in episode 32 and episode 33. Much later in chapter 16, on the same theme of true versus false, Jesus said to the disciples in one of his final discourses before his arrest on the evening of Maundy Thursday, chapter 8, verses 13 and 17, verses 7 and 13. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The message is that Jesus and the Spirit, two of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, speak the truth with a capital T, and that all else is falsehood. For the balance of this episode, I begin the first of several sections focused on unique details found in St. John's Gospel, in the hope that recognizing these quite special differences between John's Gospel and the accounts in the Synoptics, you will have a fuller appreciation of the importance of St. John in the development of Christian theology. I have referred to some of these details in previous episodes. For this session, the focus is on four topics: Jesus' emotions, numerology, the use of the word Jews, and prophecies, both from the Old Testament in reference to Jesus and by Jesus himself of future events. The first detail concerns St. John's description of Jesus' emotions. These revealing statements made in St. John's narrative, or in the words of Jesus himself, give St. John's Gospel a sense of intimacy that is not present in other accounts. There are four examples, three of which I referred to in the discussion of the raising of Lazarus in episode 38. In chapter 11, verse 5, St. John referred to Jesus' love for Mary and Martha of Bethany and their brother Lazarus. In verse 11, in the discourse with the disciples, Jesus speaks of Lazarus as our friend, and here he may have been referring both to his own feelings and to those of the disciples. In verses 35 and 36, St. John reports the observation by the Jews who were present of how Jesus both loved and wept for the death of Lazarus. The final example is found in chapter 21, verse 20, in which John refers, it is thought that the reference means John himself, to the disciple whom Jesus loved. Based upon early church tradition, John is often referred to in study Bibles as the beloved disciple. The next detail is the use of numerology in St. John's Gospel. Numerology, the study of the significance of certain important and symbolic numbers, was prevalent in the first century. In the AIC Bible Study Series on Revelation, also credited to St. John, episode 2 in that series offers a primer on numerology, specifically applied to Revelation, but also applicable here, especially concerning the numbers 6 and 7. 6, the sum of magical numbers 4 and 3, was considered the perfect number. By the same understanding, 6 meant just less than perfect. In the wedding at Cana, there are 6 jars of water. These were poured into another container, making the perfect 7. The illustration is the center portion of a stained glass window by Franz Mayer of Munich, produced in 1930 and 31 for St. Joseph's Villa Chapel in Richmond, Virginia, from the AIC bookstore publication, Paintings on Light. Similarly, in the early church, it was understood that in Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob in chapter 4, a reference is made to the woman having had five husbands, plus the one with whom she was living, who was not her husband. That makes a total of six. And when she proclaimed her faith in Jesus, who identified himself in one of the I Am declarations, accepting Jesus makes the total seven. The illustrations are top a detail from a 6th century Byzantine-style mosaic of the woman at the well at Ravenna, Italy, and bottom a Russian Orthodox icon of the same event. In the Eastern and Roman Catholic religious traditions, the woman at the well is known as Saint Photina. The next detail is Saint John's frequent use of the word Jews. In the Synoptic Gospels, the same word is used 16 times. In Saint John's Gospel, there are 63 examples. And my count is based upon the count on using the King James Version. The word is not used by St. John in the modern anti-Semitic accusatory sense. It is used in different ways to refer to at least four different groups of people, the first being the religious leadership of the priests, scribes, and Pharisees. On several occasions, St. John also uses it to describe religious Jews who had accepted Jesus as Messiah. In other cases, the word applies to those among the chosen people of Israel who had not yet become Christians and were unlikely, by the time St. John wrote his Gospel, Epistles, and Revelation, ever to become Christians, thus becoming others outside the Christian faith. In a few cases, he uses the word to describe those among that first category of religious leaders whose sentiments and actions were murderous toward Jesus. These are indicated by the use of feared, and for whom the phrase fear of the Jews applies. Their murderous intent becomes more obvious in the last 2 weeks of Jesus' earthly life. Another category of detail is prophecy. In chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus says to the Jews, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall raise it up." These words are alluded to in the Gospels of St. Matthew and St. Mark after the fact in their accounts of Jesus' last days, in which observers make reference to the statement. St. John clarifies Jesus' meaning with this in chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, "But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them." Only in St. John's account of the crucifixion do you find reference to two Old Testament verses, which are cited by St. John as being prophetic of the death and the manner of death of Christ. The context is that Pilate had given the guards permission to break the legs of the three crucified men so that they would not survive until the Sabbath. Breaking the legs was meant to prevent the one crucified from pushing up, thereby relieving pressure upon the chest. Collapse of the lungs resulted in death by suffocation. But when the guards came to break the legs, which John recounts in John 19, verses 32 to 33, they broke only the legs of the other two, since Jesus had already died. In John's account, this is said to refer to the prophecy in Psalm 34:20, "Not one of his bones shall be broken." The illustration, what Jesus saw from the cross, is a watercolor with charcoal on gray wove paper by James T. So, part of the Life of Christ series at the Brooklyn Museum. The second example is St. John's citation of Zechariah 12, verse 10. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. Next time, in episode 41, I continue a discussion of unique details in the Gospel of St. John. Thank you for joining me for episode 40 of the New Testament Gospels and Epistles. This internet-based ministry is entirely supported by public contributions and book sales. You can help by making a donation in any amount payable to the Anglican Internet Church and sending it to our business office address, 7162 Southwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. Or you can purchase any of our books through my author page at www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. All royalties from the sale of these books go to the Anglican Internet Church. You can also like us and subscribe to our podcast at our Podbean site, which hosts our extensive collection of over 450 MP3 podcasts on a variety of topics, and which can be heard on computers, laptops, smartphones, tablets, and other portable devices. While you're on our YouTube page, I invite you to join our Google Plus circle by clicking the subscribe button. As a Google Plus member, you'll receive notice of each new video. Our unique URL address given to us by YouTube is www.youtube.com/C/St. John C. You can also follow us and like us on our Facebook page at the address on the screen, or use the link on the homepage of our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Once you are at the Facebook page, you can bookmark the page for easy return. You can now read my weekly blog posts and subscribe to them at https://anglicaninternetchurch.wordpress.com. Finally, you can request the weekly update, a weekly email, with the latest news and links to the most recent videos, podcasts, blog posts, and publications. Send your request to me at fron.stjohnanglican@earthlink.net. The names and email addresses of all recipients of the weekly update are blocked to protect your privacy. You can remove your name at any time simply by sending another email request to the same email address. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call at 804-559-2690. Best times are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. This program is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.